John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. John chapter 20, verse 19. This is the reading of God's Word. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, for you are our Rabboni, our teacher. And it is you who will give us your word. And it is you who will teach us the truth. Oh Father, your word is our heavenly manna. We desperately need it. We must eat of it, otherwise we will die. Rain down your heavenly manna to your people, that we may eat of it and be strengthened, so that we may be able, by your grace, do the task that you have given to your church. So that we may be able to live for your glory. We pray that you will receive all the glory, even as we preach, even as we hear your word. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are looking at John chapter 20 for the third time now. And we will finish looking at these verses the next Sunday. And we'll go into Matthew. As we have seen last Sunday, the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ are hiding. They are afraid of this world. They are afraid of the power of darkness. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered that darkness, who has overcome that world by resurrection from the dead, he comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." Darkness disappears. The fear subsides. Jesus Christ, God Himself, meets his disciples who are gathered in a tomb-like place as their Rabboni and teaches them. And we have looked at the significance of this phrase that Jesus utters, "Peace be with you." John chapter 14 verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, not let it be fearful. And John chapter 16 verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Yes, Jesus Christ our Lord is the King of peace. He says, in me you have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. See, there's two locations. In the world, you have tribulation. In me, in Jesus Christ, you have peace. At the very time you have tribulation in this world, you have peace in Christ. We live in the world, but at the same time, brothers and sisters, we live in Christ. Jesus Christ is described as if he is a location. These two realities that are true of us. We are in Christ, but we are in this world. You must understand this. Even as you live your life here in this world, but you also live your life in Christ, in heaven. People are getting cold. Yeah. They're going to wonder what that long pause was about, recording this. And he says, my peace. The peace that he accomplished by all of his redemptive works. The peace that is accomplished through his death and resurrection. The everlasting and perfect peace that we have with God and with one another. And this is not the peace of this world. If you turn to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 51. Luke 12, verse 51. It says, do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. There is no true peace apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is peace for us, but for the world, he is the cause of division. We see this even in our families. All of a sudden, There's a division in our family because of Christ. Even in Christian families, there's division because of Christ. So this peace that he is offering is not of this world. Because here, because of Jesus Christ that you love, there will be division, even in your family. But even with that division, even with that tribulation and persecution and suffering, we have peace, the true peace in Jesus Christ. Let who has an ear, let him hear. Verse 21 and verse 22 of our passage, which are the verses that we're going to focus today. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Here I want you to see what Jesus Christ is doing. He is establishing his church and he sends them out. He gives them the Holy Spirit and sends them to the ends of the world. These two verses remind us of two other passages in the New Testament. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And also, those two verses remind us, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And if you continue to read the rest of the Acts, then you will see on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes to build his church, and that church is now sent out to the end of the world. Thus, what we see in the disciples in our passage is the exact picture of the church in the book of Acts. You're seeing a preview of the church of Christ in our passage. He breathed his Holy Spirit and he says to them what? "The Father, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." So the Holy Spirit is given to his disciples, and his disciples are sent out. The exact same picture we see of the church in the book of Acts. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, which we read, is a God's command to his church, to build his church. So many people understand that passage out of context. They believe that that command is for that person individually. So somehow an individual Christian has to go out and do all these things that God has commanded in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. I often ask these people, how are you going to fulfill that? It says, baptize them. You as an individual, how are you going to go and baptize someone? No. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20 is a God's command to His church, to build His church. Here, three things are commanded. Make disciples. That's the first one. Which points to the disciple discipline of the church. So discipline, he says. Second, baptize them, which points to the sacraments of the church. And it says, teach them, which points to the church's ministry of the Word of God. So these three things that are commanded points to three marks of the church: the Word of God, the sacraments, and the discipline of the church. So what he is saying is, do these three marks of the church. What is he saying? He's saying, church, go out and build the church. These three things that the church must do, they are the ministries of our Lord Jesus Christ in His three offices to His church. The Word, the Prophet. Prophet is the one who brings the Word. The sacraments points to priest. And disciplining points to Him being the King. Church is to do these three things because they are exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing to His church in His three offices. That is why these three things are the mark of the church. He ministers. Jesus Christ ministers His people through His church. And the church must reflect or witness that reality. What are we to do as a church? You do exactly what Jesus is doing through the church. Church is a reflection of the heavenly reality. Jesus Christ our Lord, He teaches you, the church, His Word. So, one of the marks of the church is His Word. We need to teach and preach His Word. And on and on. Understand what church is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. Understand what the works of the church is all about. It's the work of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is not doing something, then church must not do that exact thing that He is not doing. Why would we do that as a church if Jesus doesn't do it? Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The church is sent out to the remotest part of the earth. But who is with the church as they go out to the ends of the world? Do you see it? Jesus Christ is the one who goes out to the remotest part of the earth. Even as church goes out to the ends of the world, Jesus says, I will be with you. Meaning, He's the one who is actually going out to the ends of the world. He's there. It is His mission. It is His work. His church, you and I, we are honored to be called by Him to participate in His work. It is Christ who is doing all this, but most amazing grace is that He calls you and I to participate in what He's doing right now. He wants to do what He does through His church. What does this tell us? This tells us the church will be successful, not in the worldly sense, but in a biblical sense. The church will be successful because it is Jesus Christ who is working. And the church must understand this. The arrogance of people of God these days, they think that they are the one who's going to do something and give it to God. What can you really do? Tell me. What can you do? The arrogance. We're just so happy that even as Jesus works His work, He invites us to participate in that work. Just so honored by that. Church will be successful. Yes. Even this church will be successful because it is Christ. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is the one who builds His own church. And He is the one who ministers to His people through His church. And even as you hear this word being preached to you right now, I pray that you will be able to see Jesus Christ. He's the one who is the one giving this word to you. Do you see Him working? Yes, He is working. By faith, you must see. And Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to the church. And through the work of the Spirit, then, He accomplishes. Do you remember what happened to our Lord right before His public ministry? Before He went out for His public ministry, what happened to Jesus Christ at His baptism? The Holy Spirit came to Him. Holy Spirit came to Him. Then He started His public ministry. The pattern for the church. That's the same picture we see about the church. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit coming to the church. Then church are sent out, establishing churches all the way to the ends of the world. It's the same Spirit Do you see it, brothers and sisters? The life of the church is the life of her Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what kind of life that you are living right now? You are living the very life of your Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you understand it or not, if you are Christian, you are united to Christ in your life. His life, I would rather say, His life is your life. His life is the life of this church. We are to live out His glorious life. We are to be like Him. He works through His church. That is why we who are in Christ rejoice. We do not have to fear. We do not have to worry. We are able to boldly work for God. For we know that His work is fruitful. If we are to do it without Christ, if we are to do this with our own strength, then we have no hope. Might as well we close down this church right now. But understand, brothers and sisters, we have been invited as His church to participate in His work, in His ministry. Is the ministry of His church fruitful? Yes. But when we look at it through our physical eyes, we're not sure. Then we worry. Because look at Mary. You saw her. She's just crying. Look at the disciples. You saw them. They're afraid. And they are not able. If you read the rest of chapter 20 of John, these 10 disciples who saw risen Lord Jesus Christ could not convince the other one disciple, Thomas, who did not see risen Christ. 10 of them could not even convince this one guy. Is the ministry of the church will be successful? What do you think? We say yes with confidence. Not because we are able. We're just like these disciples. We're just like Mary. But it is the risen Lord who is working through His church. The one who brings peace and the power is the one who works and accomplishes through His church. He, Jesus, makes Thomas believe. Disciples could not, but Jesus makes Thomas believe. And Jesus Christ made you believe. He made you who did not see the risen Lord. He made you believe. Now that is true miracle. Is the ministry of His church be successful? Yes. Because it is Jesus Christ who works. Let us never forget this. It is all about Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. Oh no, I'm not sorry, but it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. So many churchgoers, they're so arrogant. Everything is about them. Even church is for them. They could never think anything if it is not centered on them. Sorry. Church is not about you. It's not about me. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the same with your life. Your life is not about you. Now, what are you saying, young? This is what? Really? It is not about you. It's about Christ. So stop. Stop complaining. It is His power. John chapter 21 verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. How nice. They were fishing when Jesus met them way at the beginning. And Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. But look at this disciple. I'm going fishing. I'm going back. As if nothing happened. Again, same old picture, right? Your picture, my picture. They said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciple did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, do you not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. If you understand this picture, what do you think? How big was this boat? Well, very small. So what difference does it make, right side or left side? Huh? Very small boat. Right side, left side. Not that much difference. We need to do what He says. It's about Him. It's not about your creativity. It's not about your smartness, skillfulness. It's about obeying God's word. Do what He says. And by obeying His word, we witness that it is our Lord Jesus Christ who works and who accomplishes. You are able to witness to the whole world that it is Christ when you obey Him. But nowadays, so many churches, it's not about Christ. It's about that charismatic pastor who has so much skills and abilities. Yeah. We know that he did it. The pastor did it. Yeah. I believe he did it. But it has nothing to do with Christ. Do Do I want to hear that? Young did it? Or do I want to hear Christ did it? What do you want, brothers and sisters? John 15 verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit on itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Apart from me, Jesus says, you cannot do anything. But no, it's so hard to swallow, huh? Oh, there's something I could do. Yeah, in certain things, I know I'm better than these guys. Well, Jesus says, you cannot do anything apart from him. Anything that really counts, anything that is spiritual. But where, if you're talking about this world, of course, you are so able. But with all that, you cannot enter kingdom of God. Yes, it is not about us, it is about him. Jesus Christ our Lord. And church is to witness Jesus Christ. Church is to witness that it is him who works and accomplishes. Otherwise, we fail miserably. Even if in the worldly eyes we are so successful, we fail. And that goes same for your life. Even if you might appear so successful in the worldly eyes, you miserably fail if you don't understand that it is about Christ. We must first be aware and believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is working through his church. See, our Lord Jesus Christ now sends his church. And he says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Do you see it? Do you see it? Even in sending the church, he does so according to what happened to himself. Do you understand that Jesus Christ, he is the pattern for the church and for your life? He is the pattern for all our lives and all of the things that church do. He sends his church just as how he was sent by his Father. So what happened to him, his experience, his life is now your life. As he was sent, so are you sent by him. Understand, he is the pattern that you must live by.
John chapter 17, verse 16, 18, and 19. Jesus prays to God the Father, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in them, in the truth. Brothers and sisters, look at this. The Father sends the Son, meaning the Son came from the Father. And the Father, it was in heaven. Thus, the Son came from heaven, right? Son came from heaven to this world. That's the pattern. Remember that. The Son, Jesus Christ, sends us, His church. We came from the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in heaven. Thus, we too come from heaven. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? You were sent by our Lord to this world from heaven. You are born from above, born again from above, and sent to this world. Oh yeah. See, we don't know when we were saved, when we were regenerated. Let's say one day before your regeneration and the one day after your regeneration, you were living in the same house, you're living in the same place, same country, same city. But spiritual reality, as soon as you are regenerated, you are dead to this world. And you are born from above. And now you live as one that is sent by Christ to this world from heaven. Understand, brothers and sisters? We came from heaven. You do not belong to this world. Remember what he prayed? John 17, 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Thus we live here on earth as an alien and a stranger. Thus we are ambassadors from heaven, the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that you are sent. By Christ to this world. And the purpose of us being sent is the same purpose that the Son is sent. No, we are not saying that we too die on the cross for the sins of the world. No. But John chapter 3 verse 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Yes, you and I, we are here in this world so that through us, through the ministry of the church, that the world might believe Jesus Christ our Lord and be saved through Him. Even John tells us the purpose of why he wrote the book of John. Chapter 20, verse 31. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have eternal life in His name. Brothers and sisters, do you know why you are here? Do you know why you live here on earth? Did you know that you are God's gift to this world? That through you, through His church, through the ministry of this church, the people, this world's people will hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that you are sent? And do you understand for what purpose you are sent to this world? brothers and sisters, we are sent by our Lord Jesus Christ to this world on a mission. It is to witness Jesus Christ. The church, you are participating in Him being sent to this world. Jesus is sent, and so are you. The church, you are invited to participate in the work of Jesus Christ in gathering His people into His kingdom. All other jobs are secondary. Understand, brothers and sisters, and don't get angry at me. You are sent by your Lord Jesus Christ to this world on a mission. Yes, be a doctor. Yes, be a computer scientist. Yes, be a lawyer. Be whatever. But already you already have the main job. Even as Paul was making those tents, do you think he ever forgot what his main job was? Oh, you say, oh, that's Paul. No, you too. Don't ever forget what your main job is. Because we really don't care whether you were a doctor when we get to heaven. It really doesn't matter. What matters is your main job. Be all those things, but if you do not get this, you will waste your life. You will waste your life. And you will understand that when you get to heaven, how you wasted your life. What is your focus? What do you think? Why God sent you here? For what purpose? It is our honor to participate in the holy work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We work with confidence. He is working through us, His church. The one who created the whole world from nothing is working through His church. Do you remember the first creation? The Holy Spirit was hovering over the water, and the creation begins with the Word of God. Let there be light. The same with the new creation. By the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Our job is this new creation. Building of the new temple. Building of the true temple of God. Heavenly temple. That is our job. And we do it by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Christ and Heaven OPC. Brothers and sisters, you are meeting your risen Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you the Holy Spirit, and He has sent you to this world. And we have a mission. What is His resurrection means to us? It means that our work in our main job will be fruitful. He who is meeting you and who says to you, peace be with you, He is the one who works, and we obey Him. Understand the purpose of why you are here, why you were sent here to build the heavenly temple. As the ambassador of the kingdom of God, you and I must witness the reality of that place. Why do we live? Why do we even get up every morning? What is our purpose? It certainly is not to eat well and live well in this world. Understand? That is not our purpose. You think your life is successful if you have a good job and live well and live happy in a worldly sense? You think that is what is to be successful as a Christian? The American dream? Couple cars in my garage and big house here and there? Please, brothers and sisters, wake up. Understand the purpose of your life. Our lives are a participation in the sending of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. Our lives are a participation in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in accomplishing the eternal kingdom. Now, that is a life worth living. Amen? You know, when I say amen like that, you should reply by amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are honored that you count us worthy to be called by you to participate in this glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ in gathering your people into his kingdom. Oh Father, even as Israelites came out of land of Egypt, their whole job until they entered the promised land was to build the tabernacle. And even when they entered the promised land, their job was to build the temple of God. And Jesus Christ, his job is to build the true temple, his body. And we thank you that you invite us to participate in that glorious work. It is our honor to do this work for you. Do this work in you. It is our honor that you accomplish this through your church, through us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.